It's a very good time to paint it.
We moved some of the stuff, but some I'm just going to cover it over and move and put it back.
Ready? Good to go. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Planning Authority meeting for Brighton Council in the month of June. And in accordance with Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, the chairperson is to make a verbal statement at the beginning of the meeting to the effect that an audio recording is being made of this meeting. All persons attending this meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting, and that language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. Move on to item two, and that is that Brighton Council acknowledges the Palawapakana, Tasmanian Aboriginal community, as the traditional and original owners of the skies, land and water of La Truita, and forward our respects to their elders both past and present. Brighton Council acknowledges the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of La Truita that provides them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Item three is apologies and for leave of absence. All the committee are present. Item four is notification of leave of absence for rental leave. There isn't any. Item five is public question time and deputations. There isn't any. Item six is declaration of interest. Would anyone like to declare an interest on any item on tonight's agenda? There are no declarations of interest. Item seven is Council acting as a planning authority. Just like to remind everyone, in accordance with the provisions of Part 2 Regulation 25 of the Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulations 2025, the intention of Council to act as a planning authority pursuant to the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 is to be noted. And item 7.1 is a development application for multiple dwellings at 77 A, Fouché Avenue in Old Beach, and hand over to Jo.
Thank you. As you'll see from the report, the proposals for the construction of 4 3-bedroom single-storey units on a vacant allotment at 77A Fouché Avenue. This is an internal lot with access over existing rights of way for 75 and 77 Fouché Avenue. The proposal complies with all acceptable solutions except those relating to a setback for internal lots and pedestrian access. You'll see the full assessment in the report, but generally, just in relation to the reduced setback, the variation proposes half a metre. The officer has assessed that as being able to meet the performance criteria based on the fact that there's still a reasonable satisfaction between dwellings, and due to the southerly orientation of the units, they're not going to overshadow neighbouring lots. The finished floor levels are lesser than a metre, so it doesn't invoke any privacy issues there. The number of car parking spaces required was what triggered the requirements for the pedestrian access, so the proposal provides the required number under the acceptable solution of 2 per unit plus 2 visitor parks. You need the extra visitor park because it's an internal lot. So in the report, the entirety of the site was assessed in considering the pedestrian access, although the car parking is all completely contained for this four-unit development, is completely contained within the lot. There's a proposed shared driveway between 77A and 77 for that strip that will lead the visitor paths into the lot proper. Consideration of the driveway environment is considered reasonable for developments of this density, given the low traffic volumes and the residential use. The design also demonstrates adequate sight lines, driveway width and passing opportunities. Conditions are recommended for signage and speed control measures as well, should you approve this application. Application was advertised for 14 days. It received three representations. One representation was regarding the stormwater management report, and the other two representations were about parking along Fouché Avenue and impacts there. As a result of the stormwater representation, we did ask the applicant and their engineers to respond to those concerns, and that has been addressed, and council's engineers are happy with that response as well. So therefore, the assessment is considered to comply with the applicable standards under the scheme, and that the valid concerns raised by representors can be managed through conditions, and therefore we recommend a conditional approval.
Thanks, Jo. Councillors, open it to you. Have you any questions of Jo or any other staff member? Councillor Whelan.
Mr Mayor, thank you. Might be for you, Callum. I think this one's about stormwater. The policy that we adopted with stormwater treatment. So condition 23 talks about stormwater quality and the option to contribute to council's quality system, is that right?
Yep.
Yep.
I might defer
Lee?
To you.
Lee?
I think that's the right, Lee. Yeah.
Okay. How much per unit is that?
$2,000 per additional dwelling.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So yep. The representor regarding stormwater queried the calculation. In the report, they referred to making a contribution of $6,000. Council's policy simply states it's per additional dwelling. Yep. The same developer did the subdivision and paid a contribution for the subdivision of $2,000 for the additional lot. And under the stormwater policy, a single dwelling would be exempt. So they could build a single dwelling and not have to pay a contribution. Yep. So in initial discussions with the developer's stormwater engineers, we had suggested that a $6,000 contribution in conjunction with the $2,000 already paid was an acceptable proposal. But it has raised that we will look at providing clarification within our stormwater policy. So it's not open to interpretation or ambiguity.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So when we take that money, we will then do what with it?
So the money gets siloed into an account for stormwater treatment. And we're currently going through proposals at looking at opportunities of where we can put in consolidated stormwater treatment throughout the network. The policy was written around the premise that the majority of council, the stormwater from the municipality, discharges to the Derwent, that ultimately it's the Derwent and also the Jordan that we're trying to protect as far as water quality. So therefore, we will work on the assumption it doesn't need to be spent directly where we're taking the contribution, like it could be spent sort of nearby where we're going to get the best outcome for stormwater quality improvement.
Okay. You've answered two of my questions without me asking. So there is a chance that money might not be spent on that development at the outfall. Yeah.
Yes, there is. Yeah. But for example, it could be used at we have a treatment device slightly further south, which could use with some upgrading, or there is other outfalls nearby where it could also be utilised. But the intent is to assess the various outfalls around the municipality where we can get best value for money from the contributions that have been received.
Yep, and I assume that contribution policy hasn't really been tested because it's an optional contribution.
Yes, so with this particular application, we have put it forward as an option where we believe it's appropriate. Where we don't believe it's appropriate, we have the ability to not accept or not take a contribution.
Yep.
In this particular case, there were discussions with the developer beforehand, and we had already indicated that we would, in this particular case, consider a contribution just because of the size of the allotment, the difficulty in putting in a treatment device, and then looking at issues holistically. Often a developer will spend money on treatment devices. They'll get put in the ground and then they'll never be maintained. There's an onus on council to then put in resources to check whether these treatment systems are being maintained.
Yep.
So holistically, particularly on the smaller developments, it makes more sense that we take a contribution where we can get a better
regional solution.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Certainly understand. A couple of quick ones. The stormwater management report.
Mm-hmm.
Do we assess that internally? Like, is that something?
Yes.
That
so
we have someone qualified to do.
Yes. Yeah, so with this particular report, they prepared a report. We went back to them with some queries, and they submitted an amended report. In this particular case, they had answered the queries that we had. We subsequently received a rather technical representation, and so we've sent that back to the author of the report to address that, and essentially we're satisfied that the report and the response is fit for purpose, and don't have any significant concerns given the size and location of the development.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks, Michael. Councillor Della Torre.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I've just got two tonight. First would be in relation to the access way. This is one development I think actually has enough parking and it's designed nicely.
Yeah,
thanks for that. But condition 15 talks about minimum width of 5.5 metres, and I note the internal access way is at minimum 3.5. Does that require them then to expand upon that? Because I didn't see anything in the report that mentioned that being a requirement.
I'll have to...
The section that's shaded yellow, I think, in the picture on page 17, figure 10, has the narrowest point of 3.5 metres.
Correct.
Stating we need 5.5. Am I reading that correct?
Sorry, I'm just... that is an error, and so the existing access is considered acceptable and compliant with the planning scheme and Australian standard. The requirement was for widening to provide a passing area directly in front of the units, so that should be amended to be a minimum of 3 metres, and that condition 15E covers the requirement for passing opportunities.
Okay. Because that was my main concern, that is quite a narrow section through there, and if you have a large full drive style vehicle and someone in a wheelchair, that's going to be problematic, for instance. I can't imagine there being too much pedestrian access through there, but if someone needs to catch the bus, for instance,
yep,
then it's going to be their only access and exit. But you're saying the standards are 3?
The minimum requirement for that portion of the driveway is under the planning scheme. The planning scheme does give some requirements where you can comply with the planning scheme, mm-hmm, and you meet those, you don't have to address the Australian standard, or alternatively the Australian standard has differing requirements. The internal access way, I think for 6 to 20 parking spaces under the planning scheme is for a minimum width of 3 metres with an initial width of 4.5 metres at the start. So
they're meeting that already.
It meets the requirements of the planning scheme for that section of the driveway.
Okay, I shall remain frustrated with the parking arrangements under the scheme then. My only other concern was around the flooding risk, and I noted in the report, page 12 mentions that the information we have would indicate that the flood-prone area hazard code should apply, but because we're building a dwelling, there's an exemption for that. So am I reading that correctly?
The flood-prone hazard code does not apply where the coastal inundation code applies. So the coastal inundation code applies in this instance, and that is predominantly assessed under the Building Act. So we had initially incorrectly asked for a flood hazard report, and it was pointed out that the coastal inundation code applies.
Okay.
Yep.
Does that mean it's assessed then at the building permit stage?
Yes. We have also considered it. We had a coastal inundation report that was done as part of the subdivision. Mm. I think that's mentioned in the report.
Yep.
And the dwellings are all at floor levels. Above that, as is the parking and access areas.
The ground actually is above it too, isn't it? So that level, the ground there is above what was in there as well, the way I read it. So,
yeah.
Okay. Mm. Thanks,
Lee. Thank you. Councillor
Wheeler. Just another quick one, thank you. Just the location of garbage and recycling bins would be out on Fuchsia Avenue internally?
No, it's on the main shared driveway.
Yep.
Council's garbage collection service already goes down into the existing units. So the bins for this development are proposed to go on the left-hand side of the main access as you're heading back out, so that the garbage truck will drive in, collect the bins from the main unit, sort of do a reverse. And then as they're driving back out on the left-hand side, they'll collect the bins for this development.
Thank you.
So there'll be there's proposed to put a widening of the access for the bin collection area.
Thank you.
Councillors, any further questions? If not, we have a recommendation. I think it is on page 23, but can I just ask for clarification in regards to number 15? Was that to be changed from 5.5 to 3?
Yes.
And is that the only change? So have an access driveway width not less than 3 metres?
Correct.
Is everyone okay with that?
Yep.
That's noted. Excellent. That's just for the recording. So there is a recommendation on page 23 for approval subject to conditions. Hand over to you.
Happy to move the recommendation.
Thank you. The recommendation has been moved by Councillor Della Torre. Is there a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Whelan. I'll open it for debate. Councillor Della Torre.
Not much more to add. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think it's a sensible development. Nice to see 3-bedroom units being developed rather than 1 and 2. But might not be happy with everything in there, but I think it fits the scheme and we should approve it.
Thank you. Councillor Wynn?
Thank you. Yeah, single story. We've avoided sort of sunlight issues overshadowing. A tricky driveway, which I think there's been a solution provided, so I'm quite happy. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, I open it to you. Is there anyone who wishes to speak for or against the motion?
Well, I speak for it because it's got good parking as well, and I could totally agree with the other councillors. It's nice to see something that just about gets there. It got over the line with those fewer things, which I think is really good. It's a good subdivision.
If there's nothing further, Councillor Delatorre, you'd like to close?
No, thanks, Mr. Mayor.
If nothing further, I will put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And against? Carried unanimously. Thank you very much. That concludes our Planning Authority meeting for the month of June. Thank you very much for your attendance.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.